Every day is a blessing. You get to be able to play in the NFL is a privilege.
Back to the Morning Shift.
Live from Flowery Branch for Falcons Training Camp. Exclusive camp coverage is brought to you by attorney Ken Nugent. Getting the settlement you deserve after an accident.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Woo! Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out.
Back here on Sports Radio 9-10 The Game. This is the Morning Shift. I am Squid Billy. He is the All-American National Champion, former Atlanta Falcon Mike Johnson. And she is Channel 2's Allison Mastrangelo, also known as the South Jersey Shoe Queen.
A-Town Alley.
Or A-Town Alley.
As you've been A-Town come to know, definitely on this show. If there's ever been any time you've been known as A-Town Alley, it's on this show.
I love it.
And this hour is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. Not you, though, Allison. You get to stay for a while.
Okay.
She might head back to Jersey at some point if we keep messing with her and putting her on the spot.
Yeah.
Well, I think that probably right now she's probably not happy with you. You're being a little bit of a diva this morning.
Okay.
You've complained about coffee, so Allison and I went through a scavenger hunt here at the facility to find the coffee maker. We find it. We not only bring a whole pack of K-Cups, but a bundle of Starbucks cups with lids.
Yeah.
And
very clutch. I'm enjoying
and
this.
Your gratitude
has been. One of them
fell, so. Oh, okay. All right.
It was on the floor.
I'm sure it's the one I'm using.
I know.
Positive.
I hope it is the way you've acted. Your gratitude has been
less than stellar.
Yeah, I'm just disappointed because normally you're the one that shows gratitude, and you've shown none.
Okay.
So, because of that, I think we will start off the wake up call with our boy Hurricane Otis out of Gainesville. Otis, how
morning,
you doing, my
please.
Friend?
Good, good. How everybody else doing?
Can't complain.
My wake up call. I got three this morning. After watching Justin Field, thank God Atlanta didn't draft him. And after one preseason game and one drive, Penix has become the number two quarterback after watching Taylor Hennessy in the first preseason game. And Squid, I'm a proud member of the nation. And last year when I joined the nation, you know, I had a hurricane named after me. This year, the first hurricane was named Burl. Squid, how many people you know named Burl? That's my wake-up call.
Appreciate you, Otis.
First of all, I thought it was Betty.
And I appreciate you being a part. Being a part of the nation.
What was the hurricane?
I was nobody before I joined the nation.
I don't, you know, they have these names where they pick them out of a thing and they just wrote through them. I don't know. Hurricane names where I've never, why has there not been a Hurricane Bo?
I'm sure there's been a Hurricane Bo. Positive. Positive.
It was Beryl. There's no
Beryl?
Betty.
Betty?
Alberto was the first one.
Oh, what are the names?
Guess what's up next? Chris.
There you go.
Chris is up next.
Hurricane
that gives
Chris.
Me, that gives people like me and Mike, that,
Debbie,
gives, us, that gives us hope.
Ernesto.
Oh,
Gordon.
I'm going to tell you something. I don't.
Kirk. Kirk is on the list. Kirk
Hurricane
Cousins.
Kirk.
You know what? Hurricane Francine, that one might be bad. I don't know. That just seems like a bad hurricane.
If we get to Williams,
the F's are always
bad.
Yeah.
Valerie.
All right. Let's continue the wake-up call here. Remember, 404-726-0929. John and LaGrange.
Flam, flam,
John,
flam, baby. Bring it in.
Hey, good morning, guys. You know, Bo, I want to take this time to thank you. I want to thank you for doing the right thing. You know, in the early days of The Sopranos, Tony would send Chris for cannolis. That's all you did. You just went and got the cannolis this morning. But thank you for taking care of El Capitan, the mafia.
Yes, sir. Well, John, real quick, I know you want to get the rest of your wake-up call, but some of those that do have to take care of those that can't.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah, and Mike is one that
like,
can't.
I've never heard that.
It's like
– That's because I just made it up.
I haven't heard that one.
Go ahead,
my wake-up call is this. You know, you go to the fridge and you look at that little piece of food that you think, well, maybe it's good. It's still good. It's been in there, but maybe it's not. You eat it, and you start feeling bad, and – You know, I wouldn't say that my one word for the Braves would be vomit, because you feel good after you vomit. So So I'm going to go pre-vomit, you know, when you're when you're mouth starts watering and you're sticking your finger down your throat trying to get
It's so early for this.
That's the second time we've had to talk about vomit on the show.
John.
Oh, yeah.
Allison's flight back from Vegas.
Yeah,
Jesus.
That's my bad.
But thank you for the call, John.
Might need a trash bag.
And flam, flam, flam.
Well, that's what we expect from the Mafia members. I mean, they just it's just rough.
Real quick, we got a couple of people weighing in on Twitter. We got our buddy Douglas weighing in. He said preseason is what it is. The Falcons, more for the purpose of seeing who can compete and who can be a good number two. The Braves word he used is disjointed, which I actually completely agree with.
Yeah, that's disjointed as a go, but it's just we can't get on the same page. It's my golf game.
Yeah,
it's discombobulated. All right, let's go back to the phones and Drew and Marietta. What's going on, Drew?
Y'all, happy Monday.
What's up, buddy?
All right, so for the Braves, my word is perplexing.
Good one.
They always make me wonder what I'm going to get, because we've had a great bullpen, and at points we've had great offense. Now, Coors Field is a hitter-friendly park, so I don't know what to take of that. But we always get one or the other, but I feel like we rarely get both at the same time. So that's how I feel about the Braves. Now, as far as the Falcons, I think it was kind of a mixed bag. Penix made some good throws. I didn't feel great about the offense. The backup OL, in terms of run blocking, we didn't get much there. But Kevin King had a great day. He had a forced fumble. He had an interception. He had a couple of pass breakups. So I'm hoping that he could really step into a bigger role, because we need another corner.
Yeah. I think also, and by the way, thanks for the call. I also think Antonio Hamilton was that guy as well. And Kevin King, obviously, good day, like you said, on the interception. You're going to read the stat sheet and see, oh, he picked one off. That's awesome. But I think just in terms of straight-up coverage and willingness to make tackles and kind of flying up the field, Antonio Hamilton really started to peek his head out as that guy as well. So
both of those guys are guys that will play they can play all over the secondary. They are a really good depth pieces. They actually make me feel better about DeMarco Helms. You know what? I want to touch on something that he said there about the Braves. You know why you take it as a good sign? I'm gonna feed into the Allison take here. Is I know it's a hitter's part, but when Jorge Soler, who hasn't been hitting that power stroke since he came here, hits four home runs, what that does is it boosts you. And Matt Olson has six RBIs, seven over the last two games, starts producing, no matter what happened at the end of the game or not. That builds that confidence. To me, Mike, that's something that you build on and maybe you can right the ship.
Yeah, I agree with you, because how many times have we talked about that four-run plateau that the Braves haven't beaten teams that scored four or more runs, and it happened Saturday. The problem is the Sunday scaries started coming back around. You've been right around the 500 mark this year in terms of Sundays, which you were so bad at last year, but the Sunday scaries come back yesterday, and for whatever reason, some of the worst losses of the year seem to come on Sundays. It definitely was like that last year, and boy, yesterday was hard to stomach.
Yeah, let's go back out to the phone lines and wake up call. Chief, what's going on, Chief?
What's happening, Chief?
What's happening, Chief? Good morning, All-American and my tribal chief, and I got a wake-up call for my special guest today, the shoe lady.
shoe lady.
Now, shoe lady, I'm gonna give you a little thing. I know you're close with Tiffany and everything, so we're gonna give you a little story right quick. I was hanging out in Drury Lane and with the Muffin Man and the Pillsbury Doughboy, and we were discussing who Tiffany was dating, and we decided she was dating the Gingerbread Man, right? And I want to know, because you're close to her, how are we supposed to believe that you don't know who she's dating? I don't believe that. I think that's
Kevin. Oh, me? You put me on the spot for Tiffany's dating?
How are we supposed to believe that?
That's a good question. E-Town Alley cannot break that code.
You're a vault.
I'm a vault, as Tiff says.
She's a safe of information.
Do you know that?
She's got all the launch codes.
I'll say she's, you know, out in the streets, but that's about it.
Whoa!
I'm not saying who
she's
dating.
Yes. She's just putting the vibes out. I feel you.
Yeah.
Okay.
She's like everyone else out there. You know, right. I'm just trying to see what's out there.
It's always
scary out there.
Did you meet the pastry man at one point? I mean, you can at least tell us that.
Yes.
You did meet the pastry man?
Yes, I have.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
That's all we needed, Allison, to know she was out in the streets. That's all we needed.
Yeah.
We won't ask.
She's going to murder me I'm never allowed back
we
on.
We won't ask any more information, but I was just curious if you'd met the
Pastry Man. It is confirmed. She's out in the streets, and she has met the Pastry Man. All right, let's get one more in before we go to break. Zach, what's going on, Zach?
Morning shift. What's going on, good people?
What's up, buddy?
Hey, so I got a couple things. Number one, I think was it Miss Allie says she's a sneakerhead. I want to know what's your go-to sneaker. Let me. I'm a sneakerhead myself, so want to know that. Falcons. Man, you know, I was impressed by Michael Penix, his quick release. I think he put he threw some good balls. I think some of these, you know, the newer receivers were kind of a little off a little bit as far as being in position. It makes me nervous. We couldn't really run the ball. That was kind of embarrassing to see us get pushed around. And then the only true pass rusher I think that we got out of the draft gets hurt. So that's kind of concerning. Here's a question about the Braves, though, fellas. I haven't really heard too many people talking about this, but we seem like we were very swaggy last year. We had a lot of swag. But do y'all think, like, with Ron Washington leaving, it seems like he had a lot of connection with the players and kind of he generated a lot of that swag. Do you think, like, him leaving has something to do with just the flatness and the inconsistency of the Braves?
I think, first off, good call. I think that you can – I think there's some there to that. But I think more than anything for me is that swag came from the top of that lineup.
Yeah.
And you had Ronald Acuña Jr. who just he brings so much, I think the right word, because it's different for everyone how they consume it and how it affects them, but is energy. Just the energy. And then you had Spencer Strider starting every 5 days, who also has that, you know, it's different.
He had that dog in him.
But
Chris Sale brings it a little bit.
He does.
Great call.
He does. He does. But just think about those, the two guys you're missing, the two of the best players on the team, you know, a Cy Young candidate and the guy who won the MVP. But I do think there's some truth with Ron Washington.
And let's not forget about Ozzie Albies. Mm-hmm. I mean, that to me, he is the glue of this entire team. They seem disjointed. Like we were used the word.
They missed Jock too. I think Jock Peterson brought that with the
yeah.
Girls. We just need like something.
I thought Kelnick was giving you some of that when he first went to the leadoff spot and got hot, and I think that kind of went away. But you know, that's the thing though, is the players feed off of others, and I think there's some truth to the one watching. And I also think Eric Young at first base was a big part of that as well. But that's part of it. I mean, you lose coaches every year, and you got to figure out a way to move on and continue going forward without them.
All right, coming up in just over 20 minutes, we'll get Dave Archer live out here at Flowery Branch. But coming up next, look, the Braves, as bad as it was yesterday, got to reset a little bit. You got a lot more meaningful games right in front of you. We'll get that all broken down for you. It's the Morning Shift, Sports Radio 910 again.
Back to more of our training camp coverage.
Live from Flowery Branch with the Morning Shift. Exclusive training camp coverage is brought to you by Kia. Movement that inspires. Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. Live from Flowery Branch. Channel 2's Allison, the shoe lady. Back in the fold with me and Bo. I used to have a teammate, and I was just thinking about this. You guys, I used to have a teammate. We'd get on the team planes, and there was always one lady handing out bags of chips. And I had a teammate that would always be like, chip lady. I'm like, dude, you can't. She has to have a name. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you can't just. It's disrespectful. Well, I'm just trying to respectfully get a bag of chips. Chip lady.
Ma'am?
Chip lady.
Maybe ma'am?
Right.
Would yeah. be a good start. Just,
you know,
don't ma'am me.
But now Allison has become the shoe lady. You never did answer what your favorite kicks are.
Yeah.
I don't know that you're so much a sneakerhead as you are like a
foot.
Yeah, what's
fitting.
The word?
Like yeah, fitting. They just need to fit properly.
What's the foot doctor called?
The foot doctor?
Yeah, what's
a... Oh, a podiatrist?
Podiatrist, yeah. You're
yes.
like a podiatrist.
Maybe my next
like an amateur
life.
Podiatrist.
Podiatrist or dermatologist, I think it would be in my next life.
Yeah.
When we had our training camp conversation, I was talking about that you have squeaky shoes.
Oh, yeah.
And she goes, what kind of shoes does he wear? I said, they're New Balance. She goes, what number? Because
New
the number tells everything.
Oh, it's all about the number. The lower the number,
I don't
the
think
less...
these have a number, though.
But you told me he had orthotics, right?
Yeah, I got
yeah.
orthotics.
So that's half your... Did you go up a half size?
No.
I didn't. Like, here's my thing.
Are they full? Are they full orthotics or are they half?
Here, you brought this orthotic thing to me, and you kind of messed me up, I'll be honest with you. And you're like, you always got to go up a half size in orthotics.
It pushes
if
you
orthotics
forward.
Companies know that, then why don't they just make them a half size bigger? I don't understand.
No, dude. No, what?
Yeah.
Did that make any sense? No.
Yeah.
The orthotics.
Yes, it did.
No,
I can see the look in both faces. He doesn't want to give me credit, but it made sense to him.
No, they should make the shoes bigger, which you have to go buy.
No.
The orthotics are the size of your foot. They push you up a little bit. They propel. They add extra cushion, which hence you need a bigger.
All right.
Also, do you know what's bigger? Do you know what foot is bigger? On
which
you?
One of mine?
Yeah.
No, I have no idea.
Are you right or left-handed?
Right.
Yeah, so like a majority of the time, your left foot's bigger.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah.
I learned something new today. T-I-L. Hashtag T-I-L.
Oh, my favorite shoe.
Wait till she properly tells you how to tie your shoe.
Yeah. Is it going to mess me up?
Yeah.
A little bit.
It might fix your golf game.
Yeah. It helped mine slightly.
What kind of kicks you got?
I mean, so I love New Balance, but I forever wore them as a kid because my parents sold them, but I was never allowed to wear Nike, so now I'm on the Nike trend. So like, I love Jordans.
You know what's funny? I'm completely opposite of that. Like I when I was with the Falcons, I was a Nike guy.
Yeah.
Like I wore, you know, Nike, all this. I was at Nike school at Alabama, wore a Nike team. I had the Nike contract, did the whole thing. I don't know if I've worn a pair of Nike since.
They don't have as much support.
Right. And it was just, once my shoes change because of my injuries, I have to wear those shoes for however, once I make put a different shoe on, completely resets and it takes 3 days.
If your back's hurting, check your shoes.
Yeah. All right.
So real quick before we move on, just real quick. So if I change out the what do you call them?
Orthotics.
The orthotics in my shoe, can I still wear those shoes even if they're 6 months old?
Oh, that's a good question.
No.
No.
I'm just going to say no. Shoe people want to sell shoes, so they don't want to hear they last any longer than
shoe lady. I get it. I get it. But you know what? It's now time. The favorite part of the show for me is where I get to talk about me. Hit it, Dylan.
It's time for a look back
into the mind of Squid Billy.
Hey, he might even talk sports.
This is the Life of Squid on the Morning Shift.
Brought to you by the W Sauce and Status Truck and Trailer Repair. Driven by excellence, building successful partnerships.
That's right. A little W Sauce, a little Bloody Mary mix. I needed it yesterday after the Bloody Mary mix.
We should have played it, Dylon, to where he could hear what you did. Dylon did a Life of Squid.
I heard all about it. I don't need to hear it.
I'm sure
Dylon and I will have a closed door meeting tomorrow when we're back in studio after the show.
He did your sponsors a lot of justice.
And don't forget my friends at Status Truck and Trailer Repair. My boy Anthony and I were talking the other day, and he said, look, just make sure you tell people like Mike with a medium-sized truck, or if you have a big-sized truck, or a little truck, they can come down here and see us at Status Truck and Trailer Repair. They are the official truck and trailer repair of Squid Nation.
We are the nation!
So, Zach Bryan. Are you a Zach Bryan fan, Allison?
Yes.
He was in town this weekend.
I saw.
Saturday and Sunday, and we went to the Saturday show. Decided to make a little trip out of it. We stayed at the Signia Hotel, which is right there by the Home Depot backyard. And, in fact, you can leave the hotel, walk through the Home Depot backyard, and go right to Mercedes-Benz Stadium. So it's a really cool thing. And we got a room down there we had booked out. And I tell you what, I've been to quite a few hotels traveling, and I don't know if I've ever seen a valet quite like this.
Price-wise or what?
Just in general. First off, sat on north side for 15 minutes trying to get the driveway. It's a long driveway to the front.
Yeah, you always hate those little tiny little roundabouts in front of a hotel.
Well, the roundabout wasn't very big itself. I almost got in a fight with the guy in the vet once we got to the roundabout. what?
Just picturing you getting a fight in a hotel roundabout would be just about on brand.
So we are waiting forever. We turn in, and we realize that you can only valet there, essentially. And
they wouldn't let you park in the orange deck?
No.
Oh.
Well,
you don't know who
I wasn't going to pay for that. I'd already paid. So we get in there, and I'm pulling up. I'm going to tell they have two lanes. They have an outside and inside. Well, Mike, there's a concrete little median there that separates part of the roundabout, and I'm – on top of it, basically, like where I'm turning. I'm in the inside lane. So, you know, our trucks, we got to pull up a little bit wide, and then you know that you're going to back up, right? So I'll pull pretty close up to this dude. Guy decides he's going to start looking at me and looking at my truck where it's at and then looking at me and then looking back. Like, he's basically giving me the once over. I didn't like that.
I'm sure you didn't.
Well,
I'm
I might sure have did. Said some words
yeah,
through
say
the windows.
Is it radio friendly?
It's not radio friendly.
Okay.
You didn't tell him he was number one?
I basically said, yeah, man, this is the cleanup version. Yeah, man, I know where my truck's at and I know how to drive it. So, blankety blank, 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 blank. I mean, I was basically as mad as a 22 car last night after he got punted by the
did
three.
Did the guy hold his baby up and thank God?
He might have thanked God I did not see a baby.
And then you sat next to him at the concert. Just kidding.
No, yeah, probably, honestly. But anyways, so when we go to leave yesterday, I did not realize we all – first off, Zach Bryan was phenomenal. MBS was great as always, but Zach Bryan was phenomenal. Really good show. Blown away how good it was. So, and I'm not the big – Amy's a huge one. I'm a huge Zach Bryan fan. I'm less, but I do like his music.
Kind of where you're at. Like, he's not top five for me, but I like his tunes. He's got a couple good ones.
He did a really good job. So we go to leave yesterday, go to check out. Well, didn't think about the fact that we had been told when we got in. First of all, we did the digital check-in and check-out, which was great. But they had 600 people check in Saturday just for that show. And then check out, guess what? Sunday morning. So go down at 10:30. And there is a line from the front door all the way to basically the Home Depot backyard.
Wow.
For valet. And walk to the back of the line, and I see this guy in the line with a clipboard, and he basically was going through getting your ticket numbers and writing them down. And so he told, he goes, you guys don't have to wait in this line, but it'll be about 15 minutes. It was around 17 minutes for them to get my truck. But that was so much faster. I thought it was 45 minutes.
I was going to say, that's actually really impressive.
And they had about 8 people working. I'm telling you, they were phenomenal. And normally when I pay a good amount of money to park, the valet will get a good tip, but not great. I handed dude a 20, and I said, dude.
Big time Bo.
I was
big
like,
time
let me tell you something.
Is that a good tip? No, I'm just kidding.
You guys are killing it. They're hustling. They were unbelievably nice at the valet. So the Signia Hotel, my favorite thing was
go Expedia on us right now. Go Expedia and give us a full
first
rundown.
Off, it was
a 4 or 5 stars.
Hotel was great.
Okay.
That bar, the Nest, was phenomenal.
Is that the view of the Benz, the Nest?
They do have a view.
Like
the
patio?
Yeah. They do. Yep. And they have like this Halo TV board in there. Ooh. Like the Benz. It was really cool to sit in there after the concert. But their valet, they have the hardest working valet in the city of Atlanta. I would put them against any valet in the world right now because they hustled. And I met a guy from Tuscaloosa who said, that's right, more times than I did.
Roll Tide.
Yeah.
Sour Body by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. Coming up on the other side of the break, Atlanta Falcons radio analyst Dave Archer will join us to break down everything we saw on Friday, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Coming up on the other side, it's the Morning Shift Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
As you get older, you kind of appreciate the grind a lot more.
Back to Falcons Training Camp.
With Tiffany, Mike, and Bo.
Exclusive training camp coverage is brought to you by Miller Lite. Tastes like Miller time, Atlanta. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, live from Flowery Branch, Atlanta Falcons training camp, and now we are joined by Atlanta Falcons radio analyst Dave Archer. And Dave, let me be the first one to apologize. You walked right through the door, and Allison gave you the very friendly version of saying, what are those on your feet right now? She's breaking you down, dude. I mean, like, I'm with you. I've been a little taken aback today about her passion about feet, but... Dude, she hit you right over the top right there on the way in.
Listen, I've been a big fan of Allison's for a long time.
Yeah.
I can't tell you how deeper in her camp I am. After she broke down the whole feet thing for me, I can't wait.
She's giving you lessons on how to tie your shoes.
I got the instructional book on order.
Yeah.
You know, she's how to put your shoes
on. Happy to help.
Learn something. Learn something new every day.
I told you, the shoe queen of South Jersey. I mean. Yeah.
First of all, Arch, we got to talk about the game on Friday. I am curious,
In your opinion, how much of the playbook did we see? Because it's one of the things we talked about in postgame, and I know you touched on it during the broadcast as well, but it just seemed to me like very, very vanilla run game, very, very, very vanilla on third down.
Yeah, I think all of that's accurate, Mike. I think that if you're caught up in team concept, then you're looking at the wrong things in this game. This game was about twos and threes playing, and you're looking for depth. 25 players. Wasn't that what it was, Mike? 25 yep. players that did not play in this yep. game. Miami, I think, had 35 players that didn't play in the game. Wow. Okay. So you're talking about you've got 85 guys on the roster or whatever it is. You're talking about the back half and even maybe the back third of your roster. So I'm trying to find five or six guys that can play, maybe 10 guys that can play.
Wow. Isn't that crazy to think about?
But you're thinking about it. And so offensive line play, we didn't run the ball very well at all.
No.
Okay, but Neusel's your backup center. He didn't play. Okay, so the center position solidified. So Jovan Gwynn, who had an opportunity, I heard Bo talking about this before, and we were told this by Raheem Morris in our meeting. He said that guys are going to get some opportunities to go see if they deserve to be here or not. And there were some guys that didn't get that done. Now, we got two more games left to go. I'm not saying that the fate is sealed for anybody in particular, but you're looking for guys. Dane Cruikshank is a guy that stepped forward from a safety position, especially when we don't know what's going on with DeMarco Helms,
yep.
but you talk about a guy that's played a great deal of games in the National Football League. Cruikshank's played like 54 games in the National Football League.
Isn't that crazy?
Now, he hadn't played a lot the last couple of years. He's been banged up the last couple of seasons, and his opportunities kind of dried up there a little bit boring, but he stepped forward. This is his fifth season in the National Football League, so this is a guy that's a veteran player that could potentially step in and play. So that's what you're looking for. That's what I was looking for in this game was some guys. And, yeah, you want team concept and all that kind of stuff, and you'd like to see it blend together, but that's what I was looking for.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of things that you saw, like, and we'll go to a young player, Michael Penix, is his debut. He was the bright spot, honestly, offensively for the Falcons all night. But what did you see in a guy that's making his first start? And, look, we don't need a lot out of him this year, hopefully. But what did you see out of Penix in his first career start?
Well, he's got – I think I tweeted it out over the weekend after I kind of digested the game a little bit. He's got the goods. He's got exactly what what they saw when they went up and evaluated him two times when they went to Washington and they took all the guys up there to look at him throw. And then when you put the tape on, did that come to life during training camp, during OTAs it did, during practice it did, and in the game you want it to translate to game speed. And Michael was completely comfortable in the game. Ball came out on time. He had a good idea what was going on. Give Zach Robinson a ton of credit. They didn't do a lot of different things. It was personnel groups. There wasn't a lot of diversity to the personnel groups. He had an idea where guys were going to get lined up. Miami paid him a little bit of a solid because they were pretty vanilla defensively.
Right, yeah.
So when he got press coverage and single high safety, he knew he could take a shot on a fade route. Now, he could take – I'm sure that there were a couple of throws. Like, he threw one in the left corner of the end zone that he put more air on it than a touchdown. So those are kind of some of the nuances in adjusting. But as far as his ability to process, and nothing says it more than the play where he dropped in the pocket. He was reading it out. The coverage took him to the right side. They had a combination on the right side where they had the slot was running like a short corner, and the outside receiver was running a slam route. He was coming back to the inside. And the linebacker who was playing inside passed off the inside breaking or the outside breaking route that was coming from the slot and jumped the outside route coming inside, took that away. He immediately rotated his head back around. He found Casey Washington over the middle on that deep end cut. And it was just boom, boom, boom. And he a little slide in the pocket. He was comfortable. He was poised. He was confident. He had an idea what they were doing. And so I think that Zach did a good job, too, of really giving him stuff he knew what to process through.
And that's what I want to hit on here next, too, because it seemed to me like – and we've talked a bunch about the third down numbers and how bad it was. But it almost was like they were designed that way, to your point, to give guys an opportunity. There were some opportunities for back shoulder throws mm-hmm. on some of the third downs. A lot of stuff really kind of going towards the sideline and even goes empty on a third down, right, where you get a blitz off the left edge and Michael Penix is kind of forced to make a quick decision. I don't think it ended in a completion, but I think he made the right decision on where to go. How much of that do you think is Zach Robinson designing these plays and saying, look, let's put these guys up to bat and see what they've got?
Yeah, I think a lot of it is that. Excuse me. I think a lot of it's that, Mike. I think that you want to – let's not overload them with all these different things that we're ultimately going to get to when we play to Pitt, when we play Pittsburgh. Let's just let them settle in and play, and let's find those guys, like you and I talked about in that first question, as to, okay, who are some of those guys that are going to surface that, okay, we need to take this group now. It's a vetting process. You're essentially auditioning for a job. So the vetting process is, okay, here you go. This is the workload. Can you handle it? And some guys stepped up and some guys didn't. Now they're going to get another opportunity next week, but then that's going to get kind of thin because now all of a sudden your veteran players are going to start getting more reps, and now some of those things are going to go away. But I think Michael Penix's ability to understand concepts of what they're trying to do, but also understand down and distance situations.
Yep.
I thought that we didn't see that from Taylor Heinicke later, and I think Heinicke's lack of reps, and I know Bo touched on this, I talked about it a great deal in the game, I think his lack of reps during practice really showed up in the game. He looked really uncomfortable. He literally looked unsure about what he was doing. But decision-making in-game, if I've got third and five, unless I got a guy wins clean on a fade route, that's a low percentage throw.
Yep.
I want to move the chains. Penix did that.
Yeah.
If you watch Penix, boom, Fitzpatrick in the flat, bang, he hits him with the ball in the flat, first down. Okay, I moved the chains, now I got three more downs. That's understanding the game and down and distance situations, and I thought Michael really negotiated that stuff well.
And it's interesting, too, you bring up kind of Taylor Heinicke, because we talked about it in the postgame. When we were out of second year high school, I mean, this guy doesn't get any snaps, right? I mean, he's trying to keep his arm loose, you know, 90% of the time, Bo, and, you know, kind of seeing him not get those snaps that night, but obviously get thrown into the fire this weekend.
Yeah, look, Arch, it was somewhat costly. We lose Braylon Trice for the season. We don't know what DeMarco Helms is going to do with him. But what did you see from a couple of guys in that secondary that we might have more depth in the secondary than we actually believed?
Well, it's a good point, Bo, and I think that give Terry Fontenot and Raheem Morris and the people that went out and scouted and say, okay, let's find a couple of veteran guys that maybe some teams have given up on a little bit or whatever. Kevin King falls right into the category that maybe some teams gave up on him. He had a pretty good couple of years in Green Bay. In fact, in 2019, the guy had over 60 tackles and 5 interceptions in 2019 as a starter in the Green Bay secondary. So he comes here after 2 years. He stepped away from the game in 22 for some personal reasons. Last year he tore his Achilles tendon and didn't play. So he's been out of the game for 2 years. The dude looked like he was reborn Friday night.
Yeah,
I mean,
did.
The guy's the interception. He probably could have had another interception. He jarred a ball out. He got the ball out. So I thought Kevin King stepped forward much like maybe Terry Fontenot envisioned when he went and got him. Antonio Hamilton, same thing. I thought Antonio Hamilton had some moments where he was on coverage. He was right there. And so now all of a sudden you look and say, wait a minute, maybe it's not just Hughes and Alford and Clark battling for that corner spot. Let's throw a couple of veteran players' hats in the ring. And not to mention now, you talked about Helms. Cruikshank stepped up in the secondary. I think he's another veteran player. But both Hamilton and King can play safety, too.
Yeah.
So now all of a sudden you think, wait, we're a little bit deeper than, like you said, Bo, a little bit deeper in the secondary than we thought.
Well, look, man, unfortunately, we got to head to break, but I could talk football with Arch all day.
Well, as it turns out, he's going to be at practice, so I'm just going to stand beside him and pick his brain more. Because, you know, privileged as I am that I get to work these broadcasts, that these preseason games, he might come in handy more than ever because I'm hearing him say things, and I'm like, oh, that's a good note.
We always get into
down.
These Arch conversations.
I always try to give
quarterback.
Him,
I'm like, God, I got to ask
about
this quarterback.
I feel bad. I always try to say, well, Arch said this in the broadcast, so I'm really just repeating what Arch said. But if it's the truth, I mean, it's better than I could give.
Yeah.
Information it's amazing, still. Isn't it, Allie, that we've got to teach Bo about quarterback play and got to teach them both about feet and
yeah.
stuff like that. What's the deal?
I don't know.
I've learned a lot today.
Once he gets coffee, then he's
By the way, saying all that nice stuff about me will not get you dinner on Friday night in Baltimore, by the way.
No, it won't.
Allison, I don't know what I gotta do then.
Allison will be back with us tomorrow. We'll actually be in studio. The Falcons, no practice tomorrow, so we'll be back in studio with her. Looking forward to that. And Arch, thanks for hanging out with us.
Good to be with you guys.
Yeah, awesome. Coming up next, on the other side of the break, we'll find out what's going on in the Steakhouse. This is the Morning Shift, Sports Radio 910.